All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
All right, well, welcome to American Vindicta. With all the talk of the exposure from our government, who is, as usual, spying upon us, I want to bring up two things for you, two things I find interesting. I like to go back in time, and I like to review old government white papers. And sometimes you have to really know what you're looking for and who you should be looking through when you're searching the internet, because there's a lot of loopholes and half-truths, and it's hard sometimes to get these documents. But first off, have you ever heard of the PRISM Project, or sometimes called the PRISM Program? So in 2013, the Washington Post revealed the existence of a secret act that was called the PRISM Program. PRISM, PRISM. Now, this information was leaked by a private contractor who worked at Booz Allen Hamilton. The leak was a massive shock in the U.S. and around the world. Booz Allen compiled slides detailing how the National Security Agency, the NSA, got direct access to tech servers and pulled out information. Now, whose information? Your information. Big tech and their internet firms such as Microsoft, Apple, Verizon, Yahoo, AT&T, Google, etc., corporate with the NSA, they all are linked together. And by giving the NSA direct access to all of their servers. The Guardian also published similar news about the NSA's private security intrusions. However, the PRISM program, its purpose was not well-defined due to the technological and internet corporations' constant denial and contradictions. So this led to the confusion of so many individuals and organizations that really cared about their privacy, as you should. Like we said before, many of us that are out there, the NSA, and especially the PRISM program, is gathering information from tech organizations, and it's still an active program. So tech companies have vehemently denied all of this, and the actual objective of the PRISM program and how the government collects information is still shrouded in a lot of secrecy. However, we have been able to dig up and provide some detailed information about the PRISM program. Some people still think that the NSA can't wield these powers, or powers such as being able to get into your most sensitive areas of data, but they can. And others believe that the PRISM program is real, and some believe it's not real. I'm going to read you an article to provide you with all the information you need to know about the NSA's PRISM program. So let's separate the truth from the myths about the PRISM program. PRISM aims at gaining direct access to the communication of users. The information includes email communication, voice calls, SMS, text messaging, social media communications, metadata, video calls, search preferences. The Constitution governs this unlimited access to information by the NSA through the PRISM program. Section 702 of FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which became law in 2008, allows the PRISM program to gain direct access to the servers of tech companies. And since then, the United States government has drastically increased intelligent bodies and their ability to gain local and foreign information. So, during the Bush administration, the Obama administration, Trump's administration, and of course, the current administration, they have all had access to this. Years and years of data to compile. And what do they do with all that, I wonder? The intelligent bodies can investigate the retrieved information targeting terrorists, criminals, and even those not suspected of anything, even innocent people. And formerly, the NSA was unable to obtain information from people that were living outside of the USA. However, that has all changed with the PRISM program. It does not matter what you do, where you live, whether you commit a crime or not, the NSA can, will, and has access to your personal information. I believe that is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But why don't you go and tell the NSA that and see if they get back to you? So the PRISM Act of 2007 is an electronic data collection that aims at protecting the USA according to the NSA. It was a top secret and advanced surveillance program of the NSA. The PRISM program had a code name US-984XN, X-ray November. According to the leaked presentation, the NSA claimed that it launched the program to overcome the FISA's warrant's pitfalls. The FISA warrant is in charge of tracking down and prosecuting foreign terrorists. But somehow the court's mandates were needed before they can access and investigate the information of suspected criminals. The NSA, however, wanted to overcome this challenge and have the semper gumby, the flexibility of tracking down anyone when the body wants. Furthermore, the NSA noted that the USA has advantages in tracking down terrorists because most of the big tech companies reside in the U.S., so they have direct connection to them. Aside from having the biggest tech companies in the U.S. back pocket, the U.S. also has most of the internet infrastructure. Therefore, the NSA took advantage of the U.S. technology and the technological might that was used to create the PRISM program, and it now targets both the sender and receiver, whether based in the United States or outside of the United States. The NSA disbanded FISA because it protected some people that are not bound by the FISA law. FISA must go to court and get orders from gaining access to communication of foreigners. Therefore, the PRISM program was formed, which was a significant upgrade to the FISA, a workaround to FISA, legally, of course, right? No court order is now required to gain access to information by the NSA. So I ask you a hypothetical before we move on. What are they going to do with that information? What could they do with that information? And how much of your information, privately, do they have? Is there a need for the federal government to know every text message? Are the rumors true? I remember these rumors back whenever I first joined the federal government. Was that every time you sent a text message or an email that had the words like, kill president, somewhere within the message, it was then grabbed by the NSA and it was logged. Logged for what, though? So the way it was described, and I could be wrong, this is just the way it was described to me, it It almost resembles gaining dossiers on everyone in the world who had anything ill to say about the government. That's a whole lot of us. The PRISM. The PRISM program would act further to give the Attorney General and the Director of the National Intelligence the power to prosecute telecommunications companies that fail to comply with PRISM. It also indemnifies tech and internet organizations and consequences of granting the NSA access to users' information. So there is no privacy. If the Attorney General goes to Verizon Wireless and says, we want all transmissions from this target, and they say, no client privacy act of whatever, you have to speak to our lawyers, you have to get a warrant. They just have to provide the workaround, PRISM. Now we don't have to. Now, if you don't give us the information that we want, you're interfering with the federal law enforcement investigation, and you can be prosecuted for that. It's a mighty threat. I've used that threat before. A lot of people don't like that threat. A lot of people don't know what to do when produced with that threat. Especially for these big tech companies who are customers of the federal government. They don't want to lose that customer. So instead of standing up for your rights, they bend to the master's knee immediately. Then, of course, we have the FBI. This leaked document stated that the FBI is the primary intermediary between the tech companies and the various intelligence agencies. Guys, this was known way before Elon Musk posted the Twitter files. That's why I have not been shocked about any of this, because we've known this for quite some time. The FBI. The primary intermediary between tech companies and all of these various intelligence agencies. In this leaked document, the NSA hailed the PRISM Act as one of the most productive, unique, and most valuable assets to the NSA, probably right next to their artificial intelligence that they use. It boasts about how the FBI was able to gather information from tech companies. It also boasts about how the number of obtained communications from Skype astronomically rose to 248% as far back as 2012. The information gathered from Facebook rose by 131%, while the information off of Google rose by 63%. And these percentages are percentages above what they usually could grab information from. So it was day and night phenomenal. Changed the way that you can do like an intravenous research on somebody without them knowing, without the courts having to be involved. When the NSA gathers information through the FBI, it reviews all communications. And if it warrants further investigation, the NSA will issue a report. According to the leaked data, the NSA generates more than 2,000 PRISM program reports monthly. So let's talk about how the NSA PRISM project program collects your data. The PRISM program activities are still shrouded in a lot of secrecy, which is not also helped by the constant denial of its existence by all the tech programs and companies. But from what we know so far, and also from the leaked documents about PRISM, The PRISM program relies on two aspects for its data collection. Number one is Section 702 of the FISA Act, while the second one is Section 215 of the Patriot Act. The PRISM program has a law that authorizes security agencies to retrieve communications and metadata from telecommunication companies like AT&T, Verizon, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, and every other telecommunication and internet company that's out there, to include every app. A lot of you very foolish people, you download an app because you believe it's one-to-one and that data never gets out and no one ever knows the bad things you're saying about President O'Biden. You're wrong. It's all caught. It all gets caught in the dragnet of PRISM. The secret law would further allow security agencies to collect information and to analyze them for up to 5 years, holding on to your data for 5 years. The program uses a lot of very sophisticated tools for information gathering. One of them is the Nucleon, which gathers information that is related to telephone conversations and SMS text messages. Another one is Marina, which stores metadata from the internet. And lastly, PRISM has another tool known as Signals Intelligence Activity Designation, SIGADS, which gathers information from every other system. The PRISM further targets a targeted person's mobile contact, which can cause an unjustified investigation of innocent people. So you may ask, what do the telecommunications and internet companies say about the PRISM program? Well, all the companies that partake in the PRISM program, like I said, have vehemently denied this entire accusation. But no one really expects them to come to public and agree that they use or they share the information with the FBI, CIA, and other intelligence bodies anyways. And that's most likely because they're all given non-disclosure agreements bound by a potential of federal prosecution. In the past, Larry Page once publicly said that any claim that Google compromises its users' privacy is entirely not valid. Google's chief architect, Yonatan Zunger, has also stated that the only time Google can provide users with information to security authority is when the organization receives specific lawful orders about these agencies, from these agencies. He said that Google couldn't disclose users' information to the PRISM program on such a magnitude. And he also said that he further states that he would have to quit his role as the chief architect of Google if it ever happened. But what about Yahoo? Yahoo's Ron Bell wrote that the assertion that Yahoo compromises its users' privacy and gives out information to security agencies is false. He said Yahoo doesn't give information and telecommunications to any federal agencies. It does not provide any platform for federal agencies to access any unfiltered communication. A blatant lie. What about Mark Zuckerberg? What did Facebook have to say about this? Zuckerberg said that the PRISM program report is outrageous and that Facebook has not and would not participate in any program that would grant federal agencies direct access to its servers. And according to him, Facebook only complies with lawful orders for requests about specific identifiers or orders. Well, let's listen to Microsoft. Microsoft denied that they participated in the PRISM program. In a statement, the organization said that they never have and would not compromise users' information, irrespective of the body demanding for such information. They will not comply if any U.S. agency has a broad program to retrieve information from its servers. Steve Dowling further stated that Microsoft has never heard of the PRISM program and does not directly access its governments or give access to its servers to the government. They will only provide customers' records through court orders, according to him. So, if everybody denies it, then is there any truth to it? Are the telecommunication and internet companies actually telling us the truth? I would have to say no. It is evident that the internet and telecommunication companies are lying. Firstly, no organization would come out publicly to agree that they share their users' information with any intelligence agency. Accepting that they share users' information would lead to a boycott, which would be devastating to their organizations and to their stocks. Initially, many people believed that these internet communication companies were very sincere, but the leak came out and made everyone understand just how powerful the PRISM program is. There is no saying no to the federal government. There have also been a lot of controversies here and there, which further proves that the tech companies are not sincere. In a statement by Google's current CEO, Sundar Pichai, he said that Google only responds to orders about some individuals. The statement proves, to some extent, that Google has participated in the PRISM program. Yahoo's Bell has also stated now that they send only a tiny percentage of customers' information to security agencies. The statement sounds like a lot of damage control mechanisms going on, and it provides and proves that Yahoo has participated in the PRISM program. So how big was this leak about PRISM? Well, never in the NSA's history has there been a leak as massive as the PRISM program leak. The leaked documents first sufficed, first surfaced in April 2013, and such a leak is really uncommon in the history of the NSA. Now understand, all this stuff happening with Twitter, the FBI spying on people, CIA spying on people, we've kind of known that for a long time, people, but you know, they're just now coming out with, can you believe they were all over Twitter and Facebook and the FBI, and they've always been there. They've always been the ghosts in the machines in the background. They've always been monitoring the cameras whenever you weren't looking. They have access to turn on these cameras, whether you know it or not. They have access to turn on these cameras on your phone, on your laptop, on your webcam. If you're plugged into the internet, they're plugged into you. Or should we say, you're plugged into them. The NSA is the world's largest surveillance organization, and its pride itself is on maintaining the highest form of secrecy. So therefore, the leak was a very massive shock to everyone. This program allowed them to obtain information from tech companies without court orders. That is the police state that we live in. But should you be worried that the NSA gets unfiltered access to your information? Many internet and telecommunication corporations have systems that give access to intelligence agencies. This information can also be electronically transmitted to other government institutions through the company's servers. Companies are obliged to provide information due to the constitutional backing of PRISM. So the program has left many Americans confused, concerned, and feeling a great lack of control over their privacy. The majority of people think that their personal data is no more secure. Although data collection through PRISM has its benefits at times, especially in investigations of terrorism, but the rest of the times, it is a total invasion of privacy. The disadvantage of PRISM clearly outweighs the advantage of PRISM. And many people also believe that it is impossible to live daily without any form of tracking now. This view is shared by at least 6 in every 10 Americans. Americans no longer feel confident in the manner that tech companies handle and transmit their personal information. What about the privacy policies? Most people don't read privacy policies when they create online accounts. Most adults would simply just accept privacy policy while creating accounts. However, if you read the privacy policy, you would know that your data will not remain confidential. The privacy policies do not in any way guarantee that the government authorities will not get access to your personal information through the PRISM program. Data privacy laws have a lot of loopholes, and the tech companies choose to exploit them. And moreover, a lot of adults do not understand really what data privacy policy laws and regulations are. The NSA PRISM has unfiltered access to telecom servers, and there are lots of questions to be asked about that. Is the information subject to the appropriate judicial procedure? Because the PRISM information that is being gathered is not a search warrant under the Constitution's Fourth Amendment. So, legally, they break the Fourth Amendment thousands of times a month. But there's no accountability because the government gave themselves the power to subvert the Constitution and FISA for spying domestically, internationally, everywhere. That's been always one of my problems whenever I saw the Starlink satellites go up. Because the ability to move over an area and to beam down information, that's just another tool in their toolbox now. And I don't care what Elon Musk says, he's not telling you all the truth. Everything that goes into space is government, is military, everything. Even if it's got the red stamp of the US government on it, and it's made in the US by a private company, it's still military. Anything in space is military. PRISM defendants have stated that the program targets foreign users and that PRISM doesn't gain access until they make a request. And the New York Times has said that in the last two instances of the PRISM data request, organizations created a secure Dropbox where they electronically deposit specific information for the intelligence agencies. In the past, Google also wrote a letter to the Department of Justice seeking permission to disclose how PRISM works. Facebook also wanted permission to provide transparency on how the PRISM program works to enable people to see the true picture, the totality of our circumstances. They got the approval, and Google discussed it with Wired magazine. They discussed the different ways it passes legal information to the government. Google insisted that it never gave intelligence bodies direct access to its servers for information gathering, which is an absolute lie. So back then on this article, Twitter wasn't mentioned. No one has been able to answer if Twitter cooperates with the Prism program, cooperates with the Prism program, because the leak did not make mention of Twitter in any way. We now know that it does. Through the FBI, through the NSA, through the CIA. So check mark, add Twitter to the list of offenders. So what type of data does Prism monitor? According to the leak, the Prism program and other supporting documents that I can't really mention, published by the Washington Post and the Guardian, that were alongside a lot of other trusted sources, say that the monitored data included the following: emails, photos, chats, videos, VoIP, social network details, social media charts, text messaging, videos, notifications, video conferences, and any other means of communication that is passed via the internet. Additionally, data that Google and Microsoft shared will also include drive files, live surveillance, entire photo libraries, video chats, video voice chats, metadata, your information about who was talking to who, different search terms that were looked up, all of it. They gave them all of it, everything that they could. Do you think they also gave them where the black sites for the child pornography was, or the prostitution rings? A lot of the apps that you probably have in your phone, or your kids have in their phone. Snapshot, is that one of them? That's used quite a bit for prostitution. They were able to make a pretty good sting arrest in Houston, Texas, on child trafficking, and the way that they were using the app was, and I've never had the app, so I don't know how it's used. But more or less, the way that they use the app is they would show a young girl, an attractive young girl, lie about the age, and then there'd be like some other leading information, and then you would email that information, that email or whatever, and that's how you paid for your prostitute. The average age of that prostitute was 14 years old. Still goes on today. They know all that information. What do they do with it? Why isn't it shut down? I think we all know those actual reasons. So, what is the difference between the Prism program and the data that Verizon gives to the NSA on average? According to the Constitution, every telecommunication and internet company must provide information to federal agencies. However, the data that Verizon gives to the NSA is different from the Prism program. Verizon gives only metadata to government security agencies, which means they can see who you call and how long the call lasts, but they do not listen to your communication. They don't listen to your voicemails as well. But this is a separate NSA program, and the Prism program, they do listen to it. So how has the Prism program affected the USA's freedom ranking then? According to Freedom Ranking, The USA ranked second most internet-free country on Earth before the PRISM leak, but the US position drastically changed after the leak. Freedom ranking started in 2015 by Civil Liberties. It is an independent body run by Germany's Library Institute and the US Cato Institute and Canada's Fraser Institute. And the index measures freedom of speech, religion, association, movement, etc. Its rating measures on scale of 10 to 10 or 10 to 0. In the last rating done in 2019, the US dropped down to number 15 on the list when we were number 2. We're now number 15. People thought that the PRISM program significantly contributed to pushing down the United States' freedom ranking. We're getting closer to China and North Korea and Russia now. So, is there a way to actually avoid the PRISM program? There is no way you can avoid it, whether you're an American citizen or not. That's the hard truth of it. It is because American companies own the biggest tech companies. Organizations like Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Microsoft, and other major tech giants all have their servers as resident in the US, even though they have servers in other locations. This means that intelligence bodies, intelligence agencies, can target your information whether you are a US citizen or not. So almost everyone around the world has an account with one or more of the above listed tech companies. So technically, no one can avoid the PRISM program. Ironically, Microsoft ran an advertisement program with the catchphrase, "Your privacy is our priority." They were still the first organization to grant the NSA direct access to their servers through the PRISM program. Microsoft began giving direct access to its servers as far back as 2007. That's the year I went to Iraq the first time. Yahoo was next in line, and it gave the NSA direct access in 2008. Next were PalTalk, Facebook, and Google in 2009. YouTube gave access in 2010. AOL and Skype gave access to the NSA in 2011. And finally, Apple obliged in 2012. The PRISM program keeps expanding as each day goes by. And many other medium-sized and multinational tech companies have now joined this bandwagon. So one can get away with the PRISM, excuse me, no one can get away with the PRISM program completely. But you can minimize the likelihood of the Five Eyes of the NSA and other organizations tracking your voice traffic and internet activities. The best thing you can do to escape PRISM is by masking your IP address with virtual private networks or VPNs. However, the infamous free anonymizing tool that was called Tor, T-O-R, also lets you achieve that, but VPN is the safest and most reliable way of doing it. A VPN client will encrypt your internet traffic and send it to another location for decryption. When you have a quality VPN service on, the NSA could see more traffic traveling through the tunnel, but it won't be able to tell separate your internet traffic from others. It would help if you considered ditching tech giants to avoid the PRISM program, just in general. Like, probably the safest thing we can all do is get rid of these iPhones and go back to flip phones. Now, that can be harder for many. I get that. Many of us rely upon Apple and Google and Microsoft and Facebook just for our daily lives and many for work. But what you can do is this. Try using secure alternatives to services that are offered by those tech giants. For example, instead of using Gmail, it would be better to use some secure email provider. Concerning searching online, you can live without Google search. I know that's hard for many people. Few people apprehend the plenty of exceptional secure alternative search engines that still exist out there. What used to be on the top of that list was DuckDuckGo, and that's no longer the case because now DuckDuckGo is part of Prism. Encrypting your data is another useful way of minimizing data that would be exposed to the Prism program. There are things called TrueCrypt and other alternatives that are available in the market. All you have to do is just ask around for them. People will frown at data breach because it puts their private information in the hands of third parties. They see what you read, what you say, your videos, your search, your emails, and much other information about you. However, the government claims that the Prism program targets criminals, but the negatives, like we say, far outweigh the positive. People no longer have freedom on the internet, period. So who should be blamed for the Prism program then? First of all, blame it on Congress for legislating such powers to the intelligence agencies. Secondly, blame it on the FISA court that passed the Prism Act into law. And lastly, blame it on the government for discarding the true values of the American society. So when the government found out about the Prism program data leak, what'd they do about it? There were diplomatic rows after the leak, which led to the prosecution of the people responsible for the leak. However, the government cannot retrieve the information contained on the slide. Edward Snowden was one of the major sources of the leak, but he had fled to Hong Kong. So, in an interview with The Guardian, he stated that he fled to Hong Kong because of its perceived freedom. Hong Kong ranks number one on the Freedom Index list with an impressive score of 8.9 out of 10. The Freedom Index, once again, measures a scale from 10 most free to zero least free nations worldwide. He said people had the freedom of speech over in Hong Kong. And he intends to exercise that. Although the United States has a bilateral agreement with Hong Kong on extradition. However, extraditing someone based on political grounds should be more likely to be vetoed by either Beijing or Hong Kong. And that was then. Now China rules over Hong Kong. So all that is gone. So here's the final notes on this. The Prism program serves as the National Security Agency, NSA's tool that is used to obtain information directly from tech companies. Companies, once again, such as Facebook, Apple, Google, Microsoft, and any other form of technological information communication are all obliged to grant access to the NSA through the Prism program. It remained top secret for years before it got leaked and then reported. The NSA gained access to information such as emails, calls, SMS, video, search history, chats, metadata, and just about any communication type through the Prism program. According to the leaked document, it gets direct access to the servers of tech companies. However, all the tech companies have denied this allegation, even though the leaked document exposed the huge data privacy issues. Defenders of the PRISM program would always say that the act facilitates surveillance and protects the U.S. However, the PRISM program clearly violates the user's privacy and poses a very significant risk to us all. The program also targets people who live outside the USA. So every expat, you're not safe. This means that it can spy on anyone anywhere. It is an unprecedented militarization of international and local communication infrastructure that significantly threatens the freedom of the internet. The PRISM program should be very troubling to everyone. And the reality is, you can't do much about it. If you use the internet, you're on PRISM. Take care of your digital privacy. Use a VPN. Try to use a better private search engine. Encrypt your data if you can. And just remember, they're always watching. That's the final notes for PRISM. So moving on, there's another thing that I want to talk to you about. Let's talk about top secret silent weapons for silent wars. So this is a white papers document from the government. Operations Research Technical Manual TW-SW7905.1. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety, and I'll let you make of it what you think. Welcome aboard. This publication marks the 25th anniversary of the Third World War, called the Quiet War, being conducted using subjective biological warfare fought with silent weapons. This book contains an introductory description of this war, its strategies, and its weaponry. Wrote in May 1979. Security. It is patently impossible to discuss social engineering or the automation of society, i.e. the engineering of social automation systems like silent weapons, on a national or worldwide scale without implying extensive objectives of social control and destruction of human life, i.e. slavery and genocide. This manual is in itself an analog declaration of intent, such as writing, must be secured from the public scrutiny. Otherwise, it might be recognized as a technically formal declaration of domestic war. Furthermore, whenever any person or group of persons in a position of great power and without full knowledge and consent of the public uses such knowledge and methodologies for economic conquest, it must be understood that a state of domestic warfare exists between said person or group of persons and the public. The solution of today's problems requires an approach which is ruthlessly candid, with no agonizing over religious, moral, or cultural values. You have qualified for this project because of your ability to look at human society with cold objectivity and yet analyze and discuss your observations and conclusions with others of similar intellectual capacity without the loss of discretion or humility. Such virtues are exercised in your own best interest. Do not deviate from historical introduction. Silent weapon technology has evolved from operations research, a strategic and tactical methodology developed under the military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of operations research was to study the strategic and tactical problems of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totality and the controlling of a society, but better tools were necessary. Social engineering, the analysis and automation of a society, requires the correlation of great amounts of constantly changing economic information called data. So a high-speed computerized data processing system was necessary, which could race ahead of the society and predict when society would arrive for capitulation. Relay computers were too slow, but the electronic computer invented in 1946 by J. Presper Eckert and John W. Malkley filled the bill. The next breakthrough was the development of the simplex method of linear programming in 1947 by the mathematician George B. Danzig. In 48, the transistor, invented by J. Barting, W. H. Brayton, and W. Shockley, promised great expansion of the computer field by reducing space and power requirements. With these three inventions under their direction, those in positions of power strongly suspected that it was possible for them to control the whole world with the push of a button. And immediately, the Rockefeller Foundation got in on the ground floor by making a four-year grant to Harvard College, funding the Harvard Economic Research Project for the study of the structure of the American economy. 1 year later, in 1949, the United States Air Force had joined in. In 1952, the grant period terminated a high-level meeting of the elite that was held to determine the next phase of social operations research. The Harvard Project had been very fruitful, as is borne out by the publication of some of its results in 1953, suggesting the feasibility of economic social engineering. Engineered in the last half of the decade of the 1940s, the new quiet war machine stood, so to speak, in sparkling gold-plated hardware as shown on the showroom floor by 1954. But the creation of the master in 1954, the promise of unlocking unlimited sources of fusion automatic energy from the heavy hydrogen in seawater, and the consequent availability of unlimited social power was a possibility that was only decades away. And that combination was irresistible. Although the silent weapon system was nearly exposed 13 years later, the evolution of the new weapon system has never suffered any major setbacks. This volume sparks the 25th anniversary of the beginning of the Quiet War. Already, this domestic war has had many victories and on many fronts around the world. In 1954, it was well recognized by those positions of authority that it was only a matter of time, only a few decades, before the general public would be able to grasp and upset the cradle of power, for the very elements of the new silent weapon technology were as accessible for a public utopia as they were for providing a private utopia. The issue of primary concern that a dominance revolved around the subject of energy sciences. Energy is recognized as the key to all activity on Earth. Natural science is the study of the sources and control of natural energy and social science, theoretically expressed in economics. Is the study now of the sources of control of social energy. Both are bookkeeping systems, mathematics. Therefore, mathematics is the primary energy science. And the bookkeeper can be king if the public can be kept ignorant of the methodology of the bookkeeping. All science is merely a means to an end. The means is knowledge, and the end is control. Beyond this remains only one issue. Who will be the beneficiary? In 1954, this was the issue of primary concern. Although the so-called moral issues were raised in view of the law of natural selection, it was agreed that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. And such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. Consequently, in the interest of a future world order, peace, and tranquility, it was decided to privately wage a quiet war against the American public with an ultimate objective of permanently shifting the natural and social energy, or wealth, of the undisciplined and irresponsible many into the hands of the self-disciplined and responsible and worthy few. In order to implement this objective, it was necessary to create, secure, and apply new weapons, which, as it turned out, were a class of weapons so subtle and sophisticated in their very principle of operation and public appearance as to earn for themselves the name silent weapons. In conclusion, the objective of economic research as conducted by the magnates of capital, which is banking, and the industries of commodities, which is goods and services, is the establishment of an economy which is totally predictable and manipulatable. In order to achieve a totally predictable economy, the low-class elements of society must be brought under total control, must be housebroken, trained, and assigned a yoke and long-term social duties from a very early age before they have an opportunity to question the propriety of the matter. In order to achieve such conformity, the lower class, the family lower class unit, must be disintegrated by a process of increasing preoccupation of the parents and the establishment of government-operated daycare centers for the occupationally orphaned children. The quality of education given to the lower class must be of the poorest sort, so the mode of ignorance isolating the inferior class from the superior class is and remains incomprehensible to the inferior class. With such an initial handicap, even bright lower class individuals have little, if any, hope of extricating themselves from their assigned lot in life. This form of slavery is essential to maintain some measure of social order, peace, and tranquility for the ruling class. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes the laws. Meyer Amschel Rothschild, 1743 to 1812. So, this document, it's a great document. Silent Wars, or Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. This document represents the doctrine that was adopted by the Policy Committee of the Bilderberger Group during its first known meeting in 1954. This document, dated May 1979, was found on July 7th, 1986, in an IBM copier that had been purchased at a surplus sale. So it looks like it was an accident. www.lawfulpath.com. LAWFULPATH.com. And you can download Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And you can get into the minds of the Bilderberg. Just be careful. This following document is taken from two sources. And the first was acquired on a website listing as its source the book titled Behold a Pale Horse, written by William Cooper, Light Technology Publishing, 1991. The second source is a crudely copied booklet, which does not contain a copyright notice or a publisher's name, with the exception of the foreword, the preface, and the main thing that was missing from the first source was the illustrations that went with it. And as they began comparing the two, they realized that the illustrations and the accompanying texts that were also missing from the first copy made up a significant amount of this document. And this is how they've now restored this document. And so as far as I know, this is the only internet copy available, complete with the illustrations. They have no firsthand knowledge that this document is genuine. However, many concepts contained herein are certainly reasonable, important, and bear strong consideration. This is what they call the elite's first meeting of the Bilderberg in 1954. The problem with conspiracy theories, guys, is that you have to read through them all, right? I would tell you not to trust on your own, but take your time, read through the document. You'll see as you're reading, a lot of the things that they're talking about, it's happening right now or have already happened. The invention of the internet to control everything, controlling the economies. And then we have our biological wars that we are currently under. It's all in that document from 1954. It's almost like if they planned all this out a very long time ago. That's all I got for you today. Thanks for listening. Stay frosty.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have. Access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountainstatesurvival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app, Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindictus show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindictus show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath.
For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." End of transmission.